Welcome to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast at the Step Back. I am Jason, and with me today is a special guest returning to the show, Chris Barnwell. He is an editor for At the Hive, and he writes at the Step Back and lots of other good places. Chris, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. Had fun last time.
And something big happened. Klay Thompson scored 60 points in a game in only 29 minutes. And lit the world.
You know, you say it, and it's still shocking.
Yeah, he basically lit the world on fire. 29 minutes, 21 of 33 from the field, 8 of 14 from 3, 10 of 11 from the line, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, but you know, he scored 60 points in 29 minutes, so we're not going to nitpick at any lacking of contribution elsewhere. And his team won by a million jillion points, so... one of the biggest blowouts in the history of any time that anyone has ever scored 60 points in a game. So what did you when you first realized that Klay Thompson is going off, he's on fire, he's about to set a record? What were you thinking?
Well, the first thing I thought was when I saw the 40 points thing. I didn't have the game on, and then I saw that he has 40 at halftime. So I threw it on my TV, but I put it on mute because I just figured, oh, he'll probably slow down and get like 12 more and get a 50-point game, and that'll be cool. And then I looked over, and he almost had 60. And I was like, he has to go for 82. Like, of course he has to go for 82. It's insane not to go for 82 right now. And I still think he could have done it.
Yeah, it's and I don't think – like, I don't see a problem with – going for it in that situation. I mean, if you're, have a chance at making history in that circumstance, like, I think that's perfectly valid. I don't think that's like some kind of, breaking of basketball rules or whatever.
I mean, they went for 73 last year and they had no reason to do that. So
that's true. Well, why history, not? Yeah. So yeah.
Why not go for records?
Right. Exactly. So yeah. Rachel Nichols mentioned that, if he had played 48 minutes at that pace, he would have scored 99 points. Obviously, he would not have scored 99 points, but it just staggering amount of points that he scored in 29 minutes. So that's obviously remarkable.
You keep saying that, and I keep not believing. Like, I watched it happen, and I'm still stunned that it happened.
Yeah, and the other remarkable thing about the game, with some of the sport view data. That he only had the ball for 88 seconds total in the game. He only possessed the ball for that matter. It was a lot of catching shoots, 11 dribbles on 20 assisted field goals, only touched the ball 52 times and had a 79% contested field goal percentage. So just, blowing up. And Richard Yanow tweeted that of the other 60-point games of the Sportview era, Kobe had the ball for 400 seconds, LeBron had it for 390, and Melo had it for 240. Again, 88 seconds total.
Fun fact, LeBron and Melo both did it against the exact same Charlotte Bobcats team.
That's true. Well, actually, no, I'm afraid that I don't believe that because there was no way there was ever a team called the Bobcats.
Fair point. I think they happened like within a month of each other, too.
Yeah.
It was really close in comparison. Everyone kind of like played down as, oh, it's just the Bobcats, when that was actually like a top 10 Charlotte defense that year.
Yeah, well, the less we talk about the Bobcats, the happier I'll be. But so Klay,
the NBA's greatest franchise.
Yes, indeed. So Klay actually had the ball for less time than Steph, Durant, Draymond Green, Sean Livingston, and Ian Clark during the game. So that just shows you, where that happens. And now, you look at that, and obviously it just shows that he doesn't really need to be able to dribble to create his own shot. But what is the fact that he had the possession of the ball for so little time mean to you?
I don't think it takes away anything from it. I think it's just a different kind of 60 points. Like, we're used to the ball dominant superstar getting it, but really this has always been kind of Klay Thompson's thing. Like, he's always been the trivia question, or like in the points category, like what players have scored this many points. And for hardcore NBA fans, like, all that, oh, right, Klay Thompson did it. But, for a more casual fan, they'll immediately think of LeBron, they'll think of Carmelo, they'll think of Kobe. But Klay Thompson is just this guy that you don't really think of because he's in the backdrop to Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and just other scorers. But he's always been this guy that could just randomly blow up at any point. I feel like it's a great representation of, like, kind of modern-day basketball.
Sure, and he had, you know, 37 points in a quarter last year, so obviously he's had 50-point games in his career. But, yeah, other players who are, you know, relatively obscure players, Tony Delk, for instance, you know, Mo Williams toward the end of his career, Corey Brewer, a lot of guys have had 50-point games, but 60 is special. There isn't really anyone who isn't at least a borderline Hall of Famer who has scored 60 points in a game. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Clay's, you know, with what happens with the Warriors over the next few years, if Clay is there and producing, and, you know, whether he's in that conversation eventually, depending on his team's achievements. But yeah, so he certainly not, by far not, wasn't the worst player to ever score 50 points in a game, but he, you know, obviously behind Durant, Curry in the pecking order, and Draymond to a certain extent, although obviously not in offense. I think the, you know, he helps the ecosystem of what they do, and it helps him. I mean, obviously it helps him to be able to have Steph and Durant, all those guys, to attract attention and to give him more space and that kind of thing. But his shooting, you know, helps those other guys too. I mean, it's, you know, Durant is having one of the most efficient, I think the most efficient season of his career. And, you know, Klay Thompson and Curry being there are a huge part of it. So I don't think it's fair to try to disparage his accomplishment by just saying, well, he doesn't have to create off the dribble, it's easier for him. But I also don't think, you know, there's also been kind of this, I've seen some of kind of like the play the right way Twitter, who has, you know, kind of said, well, you know, it just proves that you don't want to dribble, you don't want to over dribble, you know, just shoot. And, it, you know, that's not really that either. I mean, he has an incredibly rare ability to, you know, come off screens and to be able to, you know, get a shot off quickly and, of course, accurately. So I feel like the lesson here is just, you know, Klay Thompson is able to do these amazing things, and the Golden State Warriors are obviously an amazing team.
The thing I kept seeing last night that drove me insane was the, oh, well, ball, he should be open and making these shots all the time. Like, just this utter misunderstanding of how NBA defense works, you know, that these guys aren't good enough to guard a guy and prevent him from getting 30 a night. Like, just ridiculous assertions like that. So that's the one I kept seeing.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we know better that, you know, NBA defense, for the most part, is pretty stout. And even though the Pacers are not the best defensive team, they do have some pretty good individual defensive players.
They're professionals.
And yes. So, you know, they're, except for maybe a handful of extremely clueless NBA players, you know, pretty much everyone there is trying their best and, you know, pretty good at defense. So on the, you know, at least on the scale compared to anybody else in the world.
Right. And he's done stuff like this before. And if it was really just only the ecosystem, I feel like more players would have gotten closer. Like, because like you said, there's the random, the Corey Brewers and the Mo Williams and all that stuff. But even those were just these weird, random outbursts. Well, Klay Thompson has done stuff like this consistently where he just has these quarters where he explodes. And he gets hot and everything he shoots goes in. And, like, I feel like that kind of says a lot more about him as a player and how good he is, and how good he is at taking advantage of that ecosystem you mentioned. Like, he takes advantage of the system. He took advantage of the fact that Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are swallowing up as much of the defense as they do. He takes advantage of those screens that he runs around. He's very good at doing he's probably the best in the NBA at looking at a situation, putting himself in the best spot to get an open shot or score, and then scoring.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. And if you look at some of the other scoring outbursts that are sort of comparable to Klay's 60, Kobe had 62 and three quarters against the Mavericks. That was 32 minutes, 53 seconds. George Gervin had 63 on the final day of the 1978 season in 33 minutes. I think he had like 58 with like 10 minutes left in the third quarter in that game, and didn't play the fourth quarter either. Karl Malone, 61 in 33 minutes as well against the Bucks in a huge blowout. And then in his 100-point game, Wilt had 69 points in 36 minutes. So those are the closest that I could find that sort of even come close to what Klay did in 29 minutes. And also, since 83, only five players have had a better field goal percentage in a 60-point game than Klay Thompson. This comes from Basketball Reference. Karl Malone, Tom Chambers, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, and Carmelo. So that's obviously, that's quite an impressive list right there. And Other players with the most points in 30 minutes or less, again, since 83. Steph Curry, teammate of Klay Thompson, 46 points. Gilbert Arenas with 46 points. J.R. Smith with 45 points, I think back in 2009. And Larry Bird with 43 points. So
that's a really interesting list.
Yes. And J.R. Smith is another, like,
he's another kind of random wait, what kind of player?
Yeah, I mean, he is, you know, he's not as good of a player overall as Klay Thompson, but he's that kind of player where he can just explode, you know, in the right situation with the, you know, in the right ecosystem. Obviously, going to Cleveland revived his career and has, you know, turned him into he's become a much more valuable player playing there. But yeah, do you think that Klay could score 60 in a game if he were the primary scorer on a more typical team?
On a normal team?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? He did on this one.
There, like, you go. Yeah.
I know it's kind of like lazy and not looking at, like, you know, the talent drop and all this stuff. And really, we probably should look at all these players that did score 60. And, like, you listed off of Karl Malone, Tom Chambers, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Klay Thompson. All those guys were primary scorers on their team, and they were able to do it. So, and they were really good teams at that. So obviously you need to be on a good team to reach this level in the first place. So if Klay Thompson's the primary scorer and his team's good enough, sure, he can get 60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's that seems reasonable to me. I mean, yeah, obviously there's no way to prove it, but I do think he has the you know, the individual skills in terms of just being able to create his own shot. I mean, he's not asked to do that, obviously, in Golden State, but he certainly definitely has that ability.
I just feel like if you were making him your primary scorer, that means you've set up a system to make him your primary scorer. You're doing this stuff to get him running off ball. You're finding him open shots. You're not primarily forcing him to keep the ball in his hands at all time and, you know, take away what he's good at.
Yeah, you probably, you know, you're playing him a lot like Reggie Miller was played with the Pacers, for instance. You know,
right.
Where you're still an elite scorer and you're, you know, you're the primary scorer for your team, but you're not, you know, like Reggie wasn't asked to create as much as he was, you know, coming off screens and that kind of thing. So you mentioned looking at some of the other 60-point games in history. There have been 66 of them in NBA history. Will Chamberlain has 32 of them. Kobe Bryant has 6. Jordan has 5. And Elgin Baylor has 4. The others who have them, Tracy McGrady, Allen Iverson, George Gervin, Rick Barry, Karl Malone, Shaquille O'Neal, Larry Bird, Tom Chambers, George Mikan, Gilbert Arenas, Jerry West, Joe Foulkes, who was a late 40s, early 50s star, not inventor, but popularized the jump shot. David Thompson, Bernard King, Pete Maravich, LeBron James, David Robinson, Carmelo Anthony, Klay Thompson. And Tom Chambers is the only non-Hall of Famer who is eligible for the Hall of Fame who's on this list. You have the players on here, I think, that only, I would say Gilbert Arenas is almost certainly not going to make the Hall of Fame. But everyone else, you know, like if you put Tom Chambers in the Hall of Fame, it wouldn't like shock me or anything. And Klay obviously depends on how Golden State is for the next 4 or 5 years, how many championships they win, how he contributes to that. If he's a memorable part of one of the greatest dynasties ever, I think there's a good chance that he would make it.
Oh, I think he's going to end up making it no matter what, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
They could never win another championship, and I think he's just going to be so good the rest of his career that he'll get in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if he's one of the most efficient shooters ever, one of the best 3-point shooters ever, and has, you know, both the, you know, percentages and the volume, and, you know, his defense, which is pretty good, and he'll have, you know, some of those second and third team all, you know, all NBA appearances. I mean, yeah, he would. I think you're probably right. Any other surprises of guys who are on this list or who are not on this list to you?
Not on that list. I thought about when you were naming him off. I was surprised that he didn't show up. I'm trying to remember right now. Score.
I mean, for me, Durant and Curry obviously are immediate surprises. I mean, the fact that Klay made it to 60 before Durant and Curry ever did, I think, is interesting. Dominique Wilkins is another one who, yeah, I think his high was 57. So he's a slight surprise. But, I mean, there's obviously been so many great scorers in NBA history, and 60 is really hard to do unless you're Wilt Chamberlain. So, you know, it's hard to be say here and say there's a surprise, but but yeah, I guess those are the ones that would come off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, really, this entire list is guys that if you like had the name five of them, you'd immediately think of them. Because really, like, 60 is just such a hard number to get.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the fact that Shaq was so dominant during his time but only did it once, you know.
Right, like, Shaq might... There are people who say Orlando Magic Shaq might be the most dominant player, like, ever.
Right. Or, you know, peak in, you know, NBA Finals, Lakers Shaq as well, you know, 2001, just dominating, you know.
Just this dude that could not be stopped.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And that he only did it once, like, that just goes to show how incredibly hard it is.
Right. Exactly. So, the record on this list, the teams that have a 60-point score are 49 and 15. There was one game in which both players scored more than 60 points, so that one obviously doesn't count the standings. And Wilt Chamberlain, he had a 23 and 9 record when he scored 60 or more points. And 35 of the wins were blowouts. And then there were four times where the scorer scored 60 or more and lost in a blowout fashion. Wilt did three of those, and then the other one was George Gervin, the final game of the season. And the sole purpose of that game was to get George Gervin the scoring title. It was the same day that David Thompson had scored 73, so Gervin was able to score 63 later and get that scoring title by percentage points. So 27 of them were fairly close games, one of them being a game in which Wilt Chamberlain scored 78 and Elgin Baylor scored 63, so in three overtime. So accepting that one, the in the close games, the team that had the 60 or more score actually only went 15 and 10. So, and I mean, only is a bit of a stretch, but I think it's interesting that you know, having an individual who scores that much in a close game is not a you know, the team who has it has a slightly better record, but it's interesting that it's I would think it would be slightly more decisive than that.
It sounds like if you needed a player to score 60, your team probably wasn't that good anyways. So, of course, they had to score 60, and that makes sense as to why they would lose some of those games, because it's one of those things where you really shouldn't need a player to do this. Like Klay Thompson last night. The Warriors didn't need that. It just happened. While you look at Kobe's 81, there was a really, really, really worrisome part of that game where it's like, are they going to lose and he's going to score almost 80 points? Like, it really looked like that. They needed him to get all 81 points to win that game. So you just have these games where players, they put in a bunch of stats and then they end up losing games. They're seeing it kind of this year with Russell Westbrook's triple-doubles. You put great players on not great teams and they're going to stuff stats, but that doesn't always equal wins.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a good point. Obviously in those situations, if you're relying on one guy, especially in a close game, everyone else probably doesn't have it or isn't involved in the game or what have you. And Wilt, you know, notoriously was, you know, especially early in his career, those offenses were built around him to, you know, score in bunches, obviously. And the talent surrounding him was not always the best. So yeah, that's a good point. Anything else?
I found the player that I was surprised didn't have 60.
Sure.
Magic Johnson.
Well, Magic was never, like, not really, like, a huge, you know, volume score. I mean...
I know, but it's still a little strange, because there was a long time where people considered him the best player ever.
That's a fair point. He would not necessarily have been first on my list, because I guess Oscar Robertson, he's one who's kind of surprising me a little bit that isn't on this list. You know, it didn't happen one time, because he was, you know, routinely averaging... you know, 28, 30 a game in his career. I mean, Magic's averages kind of topped out more in the low 20s. So, you know, he was certainly, especially later in his career, he would take up a lot of the slack in scoring. But, yeah, he didn't really necessarily have scoring bursts. I wonder what his career high is, because I would guess it would probably be like mid to high 40s.
I'm going to guess somewhere in a 50-pointer.
Let's, we'll look this up just for our edification.
Points.
Oh, there you go. 46 points. All right.
50 minutes played is his career high.
Yeah. Versus the Kings of all teams.
Different games, though. Weird.
Yes, yes. So anyway, anything else to that you want to of note, whether it's this game or this Klay Thompson crazy game or whether it's any other 60-point game?
Can I just have a personal moment to say I love Tracy McGrady's 60-point game with a passion?
You are welcome. do you have any particular memory of that game?
No, surprisingly. I watched a bunch of his games. I somehow missed that one, but I just always remember loving Tracy McGrady as a kid. So, actually, no, I do have a memory of that game. I remember sitting in my room and my dad coming in and telling me Tracy McGrady had like 20 of the Magic's 25 points or something like that in the first quarter. Some ridiculous number like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pre-Arenas Wizards, 2004.
Let me pull it up right. No, he was on the team.
He would have been on the team by then. Yeah, that's right. So
Christian Laettner was on that team. My goodness.
Ah, well, that's I'm surprised that Christian Laettner never had a 60-point game in his career, you know. All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being on the program. Appreciate your insight on this topic. Is there anything that you'd like to anything you want to plug or anything you want to talk about before we go?
I just had a post go up on Victor Oladipo, his improved shooting this year. He's actually shooting a surprisingly high 38% from three-point range. His defensive numbers are an absurd, like, 11 points better when he's on the floor versus when he's off the floor. So he's having a really incredible year for OKC right now. So I got that over at the Step Back for anyone interested.
Cool. Yeah, definitely will be interested in checking that out. And you can find us at the Step Back at fansided.com. And we are also on Twitter and Facebook at Over and Back NBA. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or pretty much anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Just search for Over and Back or the Step Back. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back again soon.